is the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Rick, about sausage. I'm sensing a theme to today's show. Sausage. Judging men. Wrapping things in plastic and white sauce. Time to get the fire extinguisher, Rick Emerson. You are flaming. Thank you. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Rick, I too used to think that Penelope Cruz looked like some kind of angular bird. But there's a flick out there that just came out called Banditas. Oh, you know, when I was at the Geek Tower, the lovely Jen was watching Banditas. And this is sort of a legendary. This seems inevitable, like Bob Dylan and the Grateful Dead. Penelope Cruz and Selma Hayek together as bank robbers. Apparently it's a terrible film, but they wear tight sweaters. Rick. Blah, blah, blah. I never did get to the airborne thing, but, you know, it's almost more energy than I can summon up to talk about it.
Some things are best left untouched.
Well, what could people possibly be calling about? I mean, not that this show isn't compelling and gripping. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, I just looking down at the phones and wondering. Let's see here. Let's get David. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yes, Rick. David. I just want to make a quick observation. You opened the show talking about your therapist, and yeah. Now we've had nothing but whack balls call all day.
And your theory, okay, and?
What's that?
Well, what?
Tell Scotty to turn up the pot.
So the kid...
I can't hear you. Now I can hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
what is your point, sir?
Look, my point is this mayor of Vancouver is like a grumpy old man. He's about 80 years old. And he chases homeless people in the park yelling, "Get off my lawn!" I mean, come on. They've got a store in Vancouver called Moxie's that sells as a specialty item. They actually sell Moxie in Vancouver.
I'm sorry, sir. What does this have to do with my therapist?
Well, you had nothing but crazy people calling today.
How is that my fault?
How are you different?
Seriously, how did I?
You brought up the subject.
Of what? Of Moxie?
Therapy.
This whole thing is making my head hurt. All right. David, I appreciate your point. Your points are well thought out and logical, and I appreciate all of them. All right, thank you for playing along. There you go, yes. No, we're losing your call. I love it when they sense that it's time to go like that. Oh, damn. That's too bad. We'll get our good friend Dennis Pitzenbarger here in a moment. I don't know why he... What's in Arizona? Well, all right. Paul, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi. I know it's the 150th anniversary of the establishment of Vancouver, Washington as an incorporated city.
Paul.
Paul. Yes.
You must chill. Take a breath.
Okay.
Let's speak. Let's get a hold of ourselves now. Let's not go all wacky.
Okay, I'm not going wacky. I'm not going wacky.
I'm just saying, you're at a 10.
Yeah, okay.
I don't want you to hyperventilate before we get the information here.
Okay. But the thing is, though, is that before Vancouver itself was established as an incorporated city, it used to be known as Fort Vancouver, which was a fur trading outpost established by the Hudson's Bay Company way back in 1840. And, in fact, that's what they did is they traded fur, and they even ran their own currency out here.
Excellent. So what you're saying is that Vancouver, Washington, in many ways, predates the existence and incorporation
Absolutely.
Of Vancouver, B.C.
Exactly.
All right. See, there you go. Let me give you a little congratulations. No, that's wrong. No, I didn't mean that. I'm sorry.
It was a fur trading company. In fact, you have a Hudson's Bay High School in the area, so that should tell you that right there.
All right. Excellent. Paul? Okay. Paul, that was a great call, well thought out, and I don't mean it in an Eddie Haskell kind of way. I appreciate the information.
Okay.
Thank you.
You bet.
All right, there you go. Let's see. Let's welcome now to the... I need to find a sound. Where's my opening for... hold on. This is all me. This is on me, as the kids say. This is not on you. Where the hell is my Dennis theme? Oh, here we go. All right. Welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show from the Fuel Show. Saturdays 9 to 11 on this very fine radio station. Dennis Pitzenbarger from the Fuel Show. Hello, sir. What's up?
Not much. My God, I feel like I've left Portland for 2 days and the whole place has gone to hell in a handbasket in about, 48 hours.
It's pretty true. What's up? What's in Arizona?
Well, I was flown down to take a look at the new Dodge Avenger and the Jeep Patriot. They fly me around the country every once in a while to check out the new vehicles to see what we think of
them. The Avenger and the Patriot?
The Patriot. The Jeep Patriot and the Dodge Avenger.
Is Marvel Comics, is Stan Lee designing all of the cars now? The Avenger is the Avenger. Hold on, I don't know. I've never seen it. I don't know what it looks like. Is the Avenger... Let's see, I'm trying to think of what the Avenger looks like. Is the Avenger low to the ground, sort of long, kind of a big body, but sleek, sort of like a Mustang or maybe a Magnum?
Well, you know, the fact that you did that so well only bums me out because that just means that you could do not only your job but mine, but as we all know, I cannot fill your shoes.
I'm just saying, I'm probably the target demo for the Avenger, so they should take a bow that I was able to figure out what it was from the name.
Well, it is. You hit it right on the head of the nail. It's actually Dodge's new midsize sedan. It is low to the ground. It is very aggressive. And it's funny that you say the Stan Lee comment because all the media content that they gave us was in a very colorful pinwheel sort of way. It really was very cartoonish.
All right. Excellent. All right. So this is another one of those things where you basically get paid to go down there and drive cars that other people can't see yet.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting thing. We get to, you know, tour about the country and kind of take a look at what's coming up, both from Chrysler and Dodge. And obviously, this is a Jeep product as well. It's kind of an urban attack vehicle. But yeah, it's one of the perks of the job, I guess you might call it.
Fantastic.
We have a chance to have your listeners be informed of what they might want to see, because both these vehicles are targeted at what I think would be the Rick Emerson audience, which is kind of that urban assault vehicle with a little bit of flair.
So for the day, they're basically vehicles for the day that I finally snap.
Yes, that could work. I mean, I don't know about armor plating or any kind of, you know, ammo packs. But, you know, when you do go, I've always heard that it was going to be a cleaver.
Moving on. And anywho, hey, I meant to, never mind. We'll talk about some other stuff when you get back. What's, you got things you're doing. What's coming up on the Fuel Show this Saturday, my friend?
Well, this Saturday, obviously, we're gearing up for the auto show. We're going to make a little small appearance. You know, this coming week is going to be pretty much about the Portland International Auto Show. I can only say, if you're at all any kind of car person or just want to look at everything there is to look at, the auto show is definitely the place to do it. And we're going to be down there doing a little kind of a live appearance thing. We'll be, I think, as the time goes, I don't know exactly what the day count is because I can't say it off the top of my head, but I think we're going to be the last. Either us or I think is it Timnasium? It's going to be the last live show at the Studio West.
I believe the Timnasium will be the final show from this studio. We are right. We are moving, theoretically speaking, we are moving to the new studio. Our first day there will be this coming Monday, the 29th.
Well, that'll be exciting. So,
it's going to be very cool.
Within that, obviously, we'll be at the auto show. But we also have Justin Wilson from Camp Car is going to be joining us this weekend via the phones. And that's if Jeff McGinley is nice enough to leave at least one phone line open for us.
Well, we'll see what we can do. Rick Emerson will look into that.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
All right. Dennis Pitzenbarger, The Fuel Show, Saturdays 9 to 11. Enjoy your time in Arizona, my friend.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. There you go. Dennis Pitzenbarger. All right. Hey, let's do this. Let's not break yet, but I'm going to throw over the phone lines, as they say. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email me right now. It's rick@rickemerson.com. I meant the prompt, as they say earlier, for this. If you have a question for Scotty J's The Suburban Perspective, it's rick@rickemerson.com. If you have a question for Scotty J and The Suburban Perspective, you can email that to me right now. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. You can also call with your question for Scotty J and The Suburban Perspective right now. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. So we'll do that here in just a skosh.
I have the final answer on the whole Vancouver, Washington, Vancouver.
Really?
Canada, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so it seems that in 1792, Captain George Vancouver was in British Columbia. 1806, Lewis and Clark. So puts an end to that because Lewis and Clark were the people who discovered.
Excellent.
That whole territory.
Hey, I wanted to ask you this. You mentioned this morning. Is it true that Scotty came in this morning and was attempting to speak Japanese to you by merely making a bunch of what he thought were Asian noises?
Oh, we were talking about doing the show opener in different languages,
right.
And he starts emulating what he thinks a Japanese person would sound like.
I mean, and I say this only because, and we need to clarify what we're talking about. Did he do what Rosie O'Donnell would call the ting-tang?
Yes, I told him I was going to start calling him Rosie, actually.
Fantastic. What I wouldn't give to have been here for that. All right, it's 503-733-2970. If you have a question for Scotty J and the suburban perspective, you can also email that. It's rick@rickemerson.com. I'm just going to read these couple of emails about Airborne, and we're going to be done with the whole thing. Somebody called at the top of the show, because I was mentioning how Sarah is not here today. We are joined by the wonderful Kristen Bowie, so we have to know when Sarah's not here. But I mentioned that Sarah was at home sick. And I hate mentioning that because it's like, you know how it is. And I don't mean any disrespect. I mean, I know that people mean well. But it's like every time you mention that you're ill, some guy, I got this great home remedy. And everybody's got a home remedy or something they do, or something that was like passed down, where it's like you put mold in a sock and then you bury it in a pumpkin.
Beef bouillon.
Yeah, everybody's got like something that like their grandpappy brought from the old country. And then this woman called him. She's like, you got to take Airborne. And the thing, Airborne, and you all know what I'm talking about. It's that like fizzy stuff. It's like an Alka-Seltzer. You drop it in water and it's like lemony and then you drink it and whatever. And I should say this right now. My wife, who has like 12 years of college or some crap, who's a nurse who knows things. She takes it. She's like, oh, I swear by it. And the thing about Airborne is Airborne and all this stuff, it just makes me angry. It makes me mad. And I'll tell you why. I'm not saying it doesn't work. What I'm saying is this. I'm saying that, like, I can't seem to get the straight answer on whether it does or not. Airborne makes me angry for the same reason that, like, that Morgellons disease makes me angry, where it's like you get, you know, I would tell you about that horrifying disease where it's like, I got a carpet fiber growing out of my face or whatever. It's like some weird disease that people in the South are reporting. Stuff like that infuriates me because I just want to know the answer so I can then forget about it. Like, I just want to know the answer one way or the other so I can just not worry about it anymore.
Like echinacea.
Exactly. Or vitamin C. They won't even tell me whether vitamin C is good for me or not. That's one of those things that they said for the longest time, vitamin C is great for you. No, they're not so sure. I just figure it out and get back to me. The whole thing makes me angry. Because I don't like not knowing stuff. So Airborne is one of those things that whenever you're sick, somebody's like, yeah, take some Airborne, you'll be fine. And everybody has like the anecdotal story of, no, my husband John, that he was feeling under the weather and he took some Airborne, now he is right as rain. Everybody has this,
everybody has those stories about everything.
I know, so that's the thing about Airborne, is it annoys me because it's one of those things that everybody sort of, because there's just no way to know, because it just seems like a thing that, it seems like a thing that probably can't be that effective, because let's be honest, as I said earlier, if it really worked and was really that effective, it would be illegal or at least regulated. Like, if it really, really was like this magic formula, you wouldn't be able to buy it for $1.90 at a convenience store somewhere. They would sell it to you for $75 in a bottle at the pharmacy. That's how you know it does. I mean, I guess maybe I don't think it works, because that's how you know something doesn't work, is you can buy it anywhere. As I always say, all of that stuff, this is the example I always use. And you go to the convenience store, and there's all that crap to the left of the cash register that's supposed to keep you awake. You know, and it's like ginseng and like blah, 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 and like endless little foil packets of stuff that's supposed to keep you up and awake and perky and peppy. None of it works. You know how it doesn't work? It's for sale at 7-Eleven. All the stuff that did work, they took off the market and made illegal. They only leave the things that do nothing. So that's how you know that Airborne doesn't work, because you can buy it for $1.90. So the only exception to all of these rules I'm saying is aspirin, which if it were introduced now would almost certainly not be legal, because it's amazing, because it does so much stuff. It really is this like amazing.
People don't actually work.
People don't appreciate aspirin and how much stuff it does. That it's a pain reliever, it's a fever reducer, it is a it reduces swelling, it can ward off or diminish the problems from heart attacks early on. There are indications that it can help with mental alertness in the early stages of Alzheimer's. Aspirin really is just like some weird alien thing that they left behind that they forgot to take with them. If they discovered aspirin today, though, you'd have to have a prescription to buy it, undoubtedly. All right, this is boring and no one cares. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the
Scotty J. This
Rick Emerson
Show. I don't know what else to say except
you're not going to amount to jack squat.
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Hello, Scotty J. How are you today? Let me just turn on that microphone. Hello, Scotty J. How are you today?
Excellent.
Okay. Let me just find, without further ado, it's time for another exciting installment of Scotty J. and the Suburban Perspective. All right.
Do you suppose we are, taking this a little too far?
How do you mean?
Well, people might just actually be suburbanized out.
I think it's is a great regular segment.
I think people enjoy hearing the opinion of the common man. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. I mean a representative voice.
Suburned out, should we say.
Portlanders need to understand all their surroundings.
That's what I'm saying. It really, Scotty, this is the only way there can be rapprochement and the peace between the cultures is if we all hear one another and we understand what we each believe.
Okay.
All right. Scotty J, today on the Suburban Perspective, I see you've brought notes with you again.
Yeah, just in case.
Are you just going to anti-Clinton websites and scribbling things down?
Pretty much.
Okay. Scotty J, tonight the State of the Union will be given
yes,
by...
Yes, I will be watching it.
...the President, George W. Bush.
Will you hold your hand over your heart while you're watching it?
Yeah, and I eat popcorn.
Before we get to any of the listener questions and our emails, my question to you, Scotty, do you believe that the country is, as they say in politics, on the right track?
Yes.
Please to elaborate.
Why do I believe the country's on the right track?
You believe the country is on the right track. Specifically speaking, which things currently now in the public mind are going swimmingly?
Okay, where do we start?
That's up to you, sir.
Okay, unemployment at a record all-time low, or record lows, rather. Okay. The next thing, interest rates. All-time low. More people have got into homes in the last couple of years than ever in history, as far as I know.
So there's more people in debt.
Yes, that's what it takes, you know. You're in debt.
That is what it takes. You are an American.
You're even worse in debt when you're renting because you have no kickback. You have no benefit.
But the guy fixes your toilet if it breaks.
Okay, then that's what you're paying for.
All right.
It's like leasing a car. Only leasing a car, you can write it off if it's part of your business.
I'm listening.
What else? In 2003, this is something I saw on the internet.
By which you mean something you saw and wrote down to recite here.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I don't sound like a complete idiot. Because these things really are in my head. It's just trying to articulate the communication of it all.
Mm-hmm.
2003, the United States had the fastest growing economy in the world.
Well, war will do that.
So, I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
What else?
What does that mean when they say fastest growing economy?
Just things are coming together. People are buying things. People are selling things. People are, making a living, on and on and on.
That's what that means when they say fastest growing economy.
Well, yeah, it means jobs are being introduced. It means goods are being exported, imported. I mean, is it?
What goods does the United States export?
Cars.
Okay. Moving forward.
Corn.
Where do they export these cars to?
Where did you... Okay. We export a lot of corn.
Corn.
All right. We've had this email. Did you yesterday say that the United States had a civil war between...
Yeah, I did. I screwed
the
up.
The North and the West?
Yes, I was
what were you thinking there?
I didn't say the North and the West. I said the South and the West. What I was thinking is Beaverton and, say, New York, for instance, you know, West and South, and so I kind of fumbled on that.
We have this. Rick, about Scotty J. Ask Scotty J if he has profound support of the Iraq War. Do you profoundly support the Iraq War?
I don't have profound support of any war.
Well, no, but you believe that the war is right. You think it's the right thing to do.
I believe that staying there right now and finishing the job, which no one completes that sentence. What does finishing the job mean? It means not leaving the new leadership, just abandoning them.
All right. So the question from David is, pleased to be asking Scotty J why he is not enlisted in the U.S. Armed Forces.
Because I'm 40 years old.
It's a new war. It's a new army. It's a new military.
That's great.
Strategy.
I don't even think
they'd be glad to have you.
I'd
be
like, anyone they can get.
I would be like Pyle in.
So you believe that if you could do good, you'd go?
Probably.
So if I called the military right now and they said that you could do some good, you would go?
No.
Now, I swear to God, like 5 seconds ago, there was a guy in this room who said that if he could do good, he would go.
No, I thought you were speaking like, you know, if I was in
about
my 20s.
About someone else named Scotty J.
If I was in my 20s, I'm didn't have a family anymore, on and on and on. Secondly,
so people who have families shouldn't have to go to war.
The war is totally, I mean, joining the service is totally, it's not a draft right now. It's totally up to you if you want to join. And
yes.
If you join, anybody who's joining the service right now, most likely you're going to go to Iraq.
Yes.
And they keep doing it.
Which you think is the right thing to do.
Well, I'm not forcing anybody to do that. I'm not saying anybody needs to just sign up and go fight for their country. I'm not looking at it like from a World War II point of view.
Do you have a victory garden, Scotty J?
Do I have a what?
A victory garden. You brought up World War II.
No, I mean, but you believe it is the right thing, that we are right in sending, 25,000 more troops?
I believe that if that's what it takes in order to ward off the enemy. And that's what
and the enemy
do.
Is the enemy is who?
The terrorists. Indeed. I knew yesterday it started with a K.
Yes.
And I had it. So I mean it's the.
Have you looked something up from yesterday?
No. I had it on my mind and now I forgot it again. But
what started with
Syria.
A K yesterday?
There's two different sects of religion or something in there. S-E-C.
In where?
In Iraq.
There's two different sects
there's
of
the
religion
Kurds,
or
there
something.
You go. That's what I was trying to think of yesterday. The Kurds. And the other one starts with an S.
Okay.
You know what it is.
Uh-huh.
But you won't say.
Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Hello. This is somebody with their radio up.
I knew yesterday.
Yes. This is someone with their radio turned up. Let's see how long it takes them to figure it out.
We're talking
about like
you.
A 9-minute
sound
delay.
Like you're in a semi, too.
That just occurred to me. We're on like a 9-minute delay. Who are the two groups of people engaging in a civil war in Iraq?
The Kurds.
Okay. Guess again. Who are the two groups of people engaging in a civil war in Iraq?
The Iraqians. Right. The Iraq people or the new Iraq government, right? They're fighting.
No, the new Iraq... we are setting up the new Iraq government.
Right, and they're fighting right now.
Who are they fighting?
See,
I really want to help them out.
I know. I wanted to say the Kurds something else. The
Kurds really aren't in much of a position to fight anybody.
I knew something that started with an S, and I just... It's not Syrian. It's the... starts with an S. God dang it. Why don't you tell me? Starts with an S.
But we ought to be there fighting.
Give me the second letter.
All right. Do you acknowledge there is a civil war in Iraq?
There's civil unrest in the forest, and the people need more trees.
What is the difference between unrest and war?
I'm sorry.
Tim Riley
Tim just
handed
me
you a note.
Tim finally handed me the answer. The answer is, who are we fighting? We are fighting Kurds in Way.
Yes. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. You're on the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J.
Yeah, let Scotty J know that the Sunnis are fighting the Shiites.
There!
Yeah.
And here's something started with an
on the tip of his tongue.
And the Kurds, I don't know where they fit into the mix, but I understand that something started with an S.
All right.
The Mount Hood Community College.
Thank
proud,
you, sir.
Scotty.
I need to go back to history.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, the pleasure's mine.
All right, there you go. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. You're on the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J.
Well... if you ain't Sunni, you ain't Shiite.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. You're on the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J.
Hey, Scotty. Who's your favorite superhero?
Howdy doody.
All right, thank you, sir. This is the problem. Whenever you come in here, we have no call screener. All right, our final question for you today, Scotty. As the State of the Union speech is looming tonight, do you believe that George W. Bush is an honest man?
Yes, I do, actually. Just as honest as you are and I am and Hillary Clinton is, and there's Hillary again.
So you believe that he and Hillary Clinton are equally honest?
Well... I'm not going to say that either.
You just said that, I swear to God, like 3 seconds ago. I was here.
I'm retracting that because I don't believe Hillary.
What has Hillary Clinton been dishonest about?
Pretty much everything.
Such as?
Oh, God, I hate it when you ask me this stuff.
I hate it when you ask me to qualify my statements.
Exactly.
Hate it.
For example.
That's the same thing.
For example.
You ask me to qualify my statements, but you're always like, you know, explain to me what she did wrong. Or
I'm just
explain
asking,
to me what her deal is.
For example, Hillary Clinton was dishonest about what?
Well, first of all, there's some dishonesty in the sense of when she comes out to talk and let's have a chat and let's do all this stuff, she says there's a new direction. There's dishonesty there. They're not telling us what the new direction is. So that's dishonesty. What is the new direction that we're waiting for? I love that word.
You're just trying to curry favor with me by saying new direction a whole bunch. All right, we're done. All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. There you go, the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J. Back after this with Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, in the Top 5. You stay right there. All right, 503-733-2970. This email says, by the way, tell Scotty the maximum enlistment age is now 42. Great news for him. We'll think nice thoughts of him while he's in Iraq, but he'll probably need to buy his own body armor. All right, 503-733-2970. In just a second here, we'll get to Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, try to get the top five as well. Kyle, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. Hey, it's Kyle the Appliance Guy.
Kyle the Appliance Guy. What's up?
Oh, yeah. I was just calling in support for my man Scotty. He's an awesome guy.
There's always one.
He's not a politician, doesn't have to defend the views of a politician.
No, but you know, it's inevitable that he will be. It's inevitable. It'll start with him. He'll be head of a homeowners association, you know, and then he'll be, like, on the city council. He'll be on the education board. He'll ban a book or two, and then, bam, governor.
I'll be his campaign manager.
Fantastic.
For him then.
All right. And okay. All right. Thank you, sir. Well, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it is your personal president, prophet, seer, and revelator, Tim Riley.
Ministry of Truth. This is Tim Riley.
Senator Gordon Smith said he'll co-sponsor a resolution offered by Senator John Warner opposing the president's plan to send 21,500 more U.S. troops into Iraq. That's bad news for you, Scotty. He's a Republican. He was an early supporter of the war, but he said this war is developed far beyond what we authorized. I do believe the American people recognize the strategy employed over the past 3 years has changed in a way that they find unacceptable because it is not succeeding, said the Oregon Republican. As only a handful of Republicans do publicly question the president's plan, Smith's actions are being closely watched in Washington by the White House and on Capitol Hill. Smith, whose term is up in 2008, said he is planning to run for re-election. Meanwhile, we're talking about Vancouver. Here's how they can become the Vancouver of tomorrow. Because in Washington right now, they're trying to pass a law that will allow dogs to visit bars while you drink.
That's fantastic. It's like... Is it San Francisco I'm thinking of, or San Diego? There's that place where, a lot of restaurants you can have dogs, like, at your table with you.
Well, and the Labrador Pub, I think, is like that, too.
Oh, the Lucky Lab?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, they used to be, and I know that I sound like a pet person, but you know what? Everybody could just eat it. That's just going to have to be okay. But, you know, because there's that place on the Esplanade. There's that restaurant down there where you used to be able to bring your dogs, and then some dick went and complained to the health department about it. And so now the health department had to come down, and they had to, like, start ticketing people. And it wasn't, like, inside. It was out on the deck or whatever. So, you know, I'm just saying, it seems like that ought to be, there ought to be certain restaurants that are okay with that. If you can bring your screaming, caterwauling, freaking children.
Oh, don't even get me started.
Seriously, my dog doesn't make any noise.
All right, it's Tim Riley.
So we'll see what Washington does with that.
My dog doesn't spit up on other people either.
Off we go to the land of Florida.
Oh, and Sarah's not here. In your face, Sarah. Fantastic.
Oh, and I had the pot
Bam!
Down.
No.
Oh!
A lot of good it did you. No.
Jury's election is underway in Sanford, Florida, in the case of a woman accused of choking, beating, and torturing her special needs students.
Oh.
Former South Central middle school teacher Kathleen Garnett faces 5 counts of child abuse and a lawsuit from a parent to one of her special needs students. She was arrested in November of 2004. That was a long time ago, on charges she abused autistic students. These are not artistic students, but they could be, but it says autistic students in her class. Even clipping one boy's teeth by slamming his face into a desk. Other allegations include beating children, humiliating them, pushing one's face into vomit, and disciplining some behind closed bathroom doors, where screaming and sounds of furniture banging could be heard. A teenager who said he killed and slowly dismembered his mother over several days at the urging of a pedophile has been sentenced to 6 whole months in jail.
I dismember Mama.
Angel Rosa pled guilty to first-degree manslaughter in the death of Madeline Irene.
I'm sorry, I'm not laughing at the dismembering, I swear. I just
her head and hands were found encased in cement in a garbage can. Other body parts found floating in a nearby river.
There's a... today is the man, today is the show of the missed joke. Her head and hands... No, I got nothing. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, Paula Abdul is again denying she was under the influence of anything during a recent promotional interview for the Fox singing competition.
Oh, come on.
In a new interview with the New York Times, Abdul said she was not once impaired while working with Idol, saying, I've never been drunk.
All right.
I've never been under the influence of anything. She explained the way that widely circulated video of her doing a bizarre interview with a Seattle television station and blaming it on audio difficulties. A confusing scene during last season's Idol, during which Abdul mentioned a strange proverb about a moth and a melon, is said to be fellow Judge Simon Cowell's fault, as he apparently whispered the proverb in her ear just before the camera came on. She also tells the Times that she knows that she is a role model for young girls and would never, ever violate that sacred trust.
No, whatever you say. It's 503-733-2. Do you have the top five open over there?
Top five.
We should try to roll the top five today while we still have time.
It starts with six, right?
It starts with five, and I actually have them. I have okay. The cut.
The top
today.
Five I'll starts with five?
No. But normally we have an honorable mention, but I had to work with what I had on my MP3 player this morning. Let's roll the top five. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your...
Five,
thank you.
4, 3, 2, 1, fire!
Counting is wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy, I love to count you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here is Tim Riley with today's ad hoc top five.
And as Sarah X. Dillon wages a battle the forces of influenza have caused, we pause to reflect on sickness, its causes, its cures, and its impact on the world of song.
I apologize in advance for one of these songs. You'll know which one.
These are the top five songs about sickness that Rick Emerson happened to have on his MP3 player this morning. At number five is Disturbed.
I'm sorry.
Down with the Sickness.
I'm sorry. That's all I had. At least I didn't play that Pink song. And this guy's going to make the weird ga-ga-ga noise here in a second, which was interesting like the first 1,000 times I heard it. Now I'm done with it. I'm done. I don't even know why I own this.
He says the same exact things at all of his shows, too. It's horrible.
Really?
Yeah.
I know that I'm supposed to like these guys. I'm supposed to like Disturbed. I know I am.
They were interesting for like a minute.
I am down with the metal, as the young people say. Okay, I'm done. The thing about it is it's not that it's too young for me or that it's too weird for me or it's too whatever. It's that, like, in fact, this is Disturbed is actually created in a laboratory somewhere for me, not unlike Linkin Park. I have this theory that Linkin Park was totally assembled boy band style. Geeky guy, ethnic guy, you know, like metal looking guy, you know, whatever. And then they mix it up in a lab, and like a little bit of hip hop, a little bit of keyboards, guitars, not too loud, kind of processed, melodies, harmonies, you know, and then like the chanty chorus, and then bam, there you go into the Hot Topic. And that's what I feel about Disturbed too, is that Disturbed was created somewhere by an A&R guy to be, it's just that it's polished and it's just a little too, and it's not like everything, not like I'm opposed to really, to slick music or pop music, but it's sort of this weird slickness masquerading as metal, and the thing just, it just sounds a little too plasticky to my ears.
To me, it's like, there are one.
Bleep that reference right there. I'm team player is what I am. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley, and these are the top five sickness songs I happen to have on my MP3 player.
At number four is Matthew Sweet. I'm sick of myself.
I love this song. Listen to that. That's a guitar tone. I wasn't a big fan of 90s alternative pop, but damn, I love this guy. If I could just write one song like this guy, I'd die happy. Just big and loud and crunchy and messy and beautiful. He's got just that great, huge, sloppy drum sound in the background. Sort of a thing going on. Here's Tim Riley.
And number three is Led Zeppelin and Sick Again.
This is a great song. This is the final track on Physical Graffiti.
I'm such a Led Zeppelin fan.
You don't even know. I just, seriously. I mean, when I was a kid, I had everything but locks of Jimmy Page's hair hidden in a plastic bag in my house. I mean, okay, by the way, that's a line you couldn't sing anymore in rock and roll. One day soon, you're going to reach 16. Singing to a girl, he's clearly getting it on with. That is a different time. This song is called Sick Again. It's the final track on Physical Graffiti, which is the definitive Led Zeppelin album. And it's written about the girls who used to camp out at the Continental Hyatt House on the Strip, or the Continental Riot House. No one in history has gotten laid more than Robert Plant, ever. Ever. I don't care who you are. I mean,
there's no way.
No, he's number one. I mean, this is, outstrips all other competition. The definitive rock and roll frontman. All right. Counting down the top five songs with Sick in the title that I happen to have with me today.
Number two, Social Distortion and Sick Boys.
This is a great song, too. And I'm a sucker for anything that's got kind of a na-na-na-na chorus. And this guy's just a badass. Mike Ness. I got to meet him about a year and a half ago, and it was like you could totally check it off in your head, like, things to do before I die. Meet Mike Ness. Tell him he is God. I practiced it for like half an hour or two, what I was going to say, and I'm such a nerd about it.
You did in front of the mirror?
I didn't, but I practiced it outside. I did. I kind of talked to myself. I'm like, I'm going to bring Mike Ness up in the master. Would you be my friend? You know, little whoa AO coming up here.
I'm a big Social Distortion fan, too. So.
I love those guys. I love these guys. Somewhere Between Heaven and Hell, which is the record after this, is kind of their definitive work for me, but... And I saw him almost beat somebody's ass at a show one time. That's pretty great. Here's Tim Riley.
And number one, Aerosmith, Sick as a Dog.
Off rocks. Probably in like the top, I mean, for me, I'm saying in my world, rocks. I mean, one of the top ten rock and roll albums of all time. Ever.
They have a signed poster by them.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this record is so great. Not just this, but this whole album. This is the record where... I'm not telling you to do drugs, because, again, Temple of Jesus, blah, blah, blah. But, man, I gotta tell you, there's... Drugs sort of give and give and give, and then the problem is they turn on you, and then they take and take and take, and they keep on taking until there's nothing left. This was the moment where the giving was at its peak, though, man. I mean, this is... You can really hear that they were all just blasted out of their brains when they were recording this record, but goddamn, it's great. There's a song on here. There's a song on Rocks called Combination, which is my favorite of all Aerosmith songs, where he actually rhymes Gaunt with Yves Saint Laurent, which is fantastic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The greatest American rock band of all time that's not Kiss. All right, back after this. It's a Rick Emerson radio program. Stay there. I've got more links about the history of Vancouver. Jesus. All right. Anywho. Hey, it's the saddest part of the broadcast today, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Make a note of it. And I know there's a whole bunch of things we didn't get to. We did not get to the State of the Union drinking game, which I meant to do today. I'm pretty sure Stephanie Miller already did that this morning. She kind of always beats me to that kind of stuff. But all right, we did not get to that. But I do News That Hurts. I didn't do News That Hurts, but I didn't tease it either. All right, I didn't do the pirate name either.
I think that's the only thing left that you teased.
Did I tease the pirate name?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. And if somebody asked me why I need a pirate name, and it's because I got this... I don't want to complain because then it makes me sound like a jerk. That ship may have already sailed in many hundreds of ways. Aaron was saying earlier that he's like, oh, do you have to do this? Is this the pirate name for the thing that I got out of? My wife assembled a bunch of us for this. I swear to God, I can feel myself just like, I can feel a white picket fence sprouting out of the ground at my house as I say these words. So my wife organized us into this like couples bowling league. Which just doesn't seem, it makes me feel like one of the Addams Family, you know what I mean? In that, like, there's this regular real-world stuff that my wife is trying to get me to do, like ordinary, normal couple stuff, and I just feel like it's like, which of these guys doesn't belong?
See, my mom was in a bowling league when I was younger, and it's all sorts of bad news.
Oh, I see, and
really like a soap opera.
I don't wish to complain, because it's not like I don't like want to spend time with my wife or something, but I just don't like people or places or things or activities, and this is all of them at once. It's like a theme, and so there's like a name, and we're like a pirate theme, because, which I... Anyway, so we all have to have pirate names for the bowling, and it's just a living, breathing hell. So anyway, so that's what I'll be doing tonight. Let's welcome. Wait, hold on. Where the hell is my sounder? Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program.
Call me.
Oh, damn it!
Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Let's welcome to the show, Mailman Chris. Hello, sir.
How are you doing, buddy?
I'm okay. What's up with you? Tim and I were just comparing, like, whether our immune systems are failing because we were... Sarah came in yesterday feeling bad, left feeling awful, and then, of course, Tim and I went through that phase where, like, we felt bad, but we couldn't figure out if it was just psychosomatic, like if we were just projecting. So now it's going to be... tomorrow morning will be the real test to see if either Tim and I are bleeding out of the eyeballs tomorrow morning.
But, yeah, because it'll take a couple days for her to get back and be feeling better.
Yeah.
Then you'll get sick.
Just in time for me to be felled by some sort of gangrenous virus. Yeah,
exactly. You were right. The only thing you didn't get to was the pirate, and you pretty much just covered that.
That's what I'm saying. I just don't have.
So is it just a name for the team?
No, the name. We've already got a name for the team. I don't want to. I don't even want to say it.
Come on.
We're the Pirates of Penzance. Penzance. You see.
Yes.
The Pirates
of... have a pirate name as well?
No, that's the thing. So we've got the name of the team, and then each of us individually have to have a pirate name. Hi, I'm 5 years old. So, anyway. And so I'm not complaining. I'm really not. I mean, it's funny, and it's whatever. And You know, my wife loves putting together social gathering type things. It's just that I don't really feel like the kind of guy who has to be on medication most of the time. Like, I'm not a guy who feels like I have to be on some sort of Ritalin or Prozac or whatever, except when I have to go out and be social with other people. And God, and especially other couples. You know what I mean? Because it's like, and Aaron and Jen were supposed to be part of it. And that man, that malignant bastard, he skated out of it. Somehow. I don't know how. He somehow got out of having to do it. And I don't know what he did. I don't know what kind of weird Jedi mojo he pulled, but he does not have to be part of this, but I do. And again, it has nothing to do with spending time with my wife, which is fine. It's just I have to go, and I have to be charming, and I have to be and I'm a terrible bowler. That's the other thing, which sounds like a lame complaint, but the thing about bowling, and you all know this to be true, this is a relatable subject. The thing about bowling is that if you are not a great bowler, you're a terrible bowler, which means that not only is your score bad, but you probably throw the ball incorrectly, so you can't walk properly the next
day. What's your worst score?
Did like 5. I mean, just something abysmally low.
I've gotten 16. See, and that's not a joke.
I'm terrible. And I've
thrown the ball backwards, see, all of it.
That's fantastic. Bowl overhand. And I do that thing. I hold the ball all wrong. Like I bowl like forehand instead of underhand or something. And there's always some helpful guy there to go, you know, every time you do that, it dislodges one of the discs in your spine by an eighth of an inch, you know, or whatever. And so, and then I wake up the next day and my arm, you know, and I find myself saying a lot of old person things the night after bowling. Like, my hips are just killing me, you know, and it just sounds like my grandfather as he's walking to the general store.
When
you know?
I was a kid, they used to have those bumper bowling things.
Yeah, totally.
I actually got my ball stuck on top of the bumper.
Well, that's almost impressive, though, in a way. Like, that's almost... You know
it's
what I
so
mean?
Bad it's on fire.
No, seriously. I mean, it almost takes a, that takes a certain gusto. It takes a certain moxie to be able to do that.
Now,
I'm just dull, yes?
Is this an ongoing league, then?
Yes, it is. It's for weeks and weeks on end.
Okay, well, I used to coach little kids at bumper and at bowling, at bumper bowling and regular bowling.
Yes,
so
yes.
Take some pointers, let me know.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I gave up bowling about 2 years ago, but I bowled on a league for many, many, many years.
My pirate name is not Stumpy's. Knock it off.
Captain Skinbun?
Captain Skinbun. No,
that'd be great up on that screen, though.
That's why I'm almost happy that we didn't get to it, because it's just going to end up being something retarded and degrading. So.
The therapist.
It should be a now-ripist. Like the, all right, anyway, that's a little Arrested Development humor. All right, so did I get to everything today?
You did. You got to everything.
Bam!
You still at zero.
That is what I'm talking about. Zero.
And that was a lot, too. Dennis, Jim Roop, the Oscar stuff, top 5, State of the Union, Lisa Goddard, Scotty J, Suburban Perspective, and the Pirate.
I didn't think we were going to get to the Suburban Perspective, but that's a thing I've learned that we have to make room for. So.
And that's the second day in a row, right?
And, yeah, and let's just be honest. I mean, much as I love Dennis, it's also a lot of that is because Dennis wasn't in the studio today. Because when he's here, just as off-track as this program can sometimes get, it is exacerbated by his presence in these hallways. So, excellent. All right, my friend, have a great day. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Talk to you tomorrow.
All right, there you go. This is Mailman Chris, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Well, let's see if I have time to read any of these here. Blah, blah, blah. And this Airborne is a load of crap. E.T. No. Let's see. Quickly about weird-looking famous guys, as we were talking about ugly guys earlier. Giovanna Ribisi, who looks like a beagle on heroin with droopy features, is sickly. That's true. That guy always looks like he's just been embalmed. I never thought about that. That is totally true. I was just watching Boiler Room the other day. He always looks like he's just had his organs removed him and stitched up. Tom Sizemore. Anyway, well, no time. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Lisa Goddard and Jim Roop. Rick Emerson Show produced today ably by Kristen Bowie, who's in for Sarah S. Dillon, who may or may not return tomorrow. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, our PA, Scotty J, and the manager of the Rick Emerson Office East is Dave Zinn. Like us next, Donna Mike at 7. See y'all tomorrow at 11. As always, my friends, don't let the bastards grin it down. Thank you for listening. Be safe. See y'all tomorrow. Bye.
My Uncle Charlie sausage.